Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
We're certainly blessed tonight to be back again and to have this opportunity to come before the presence of the Almighty God for the express purpose of worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And I don't know about you, I had a chance to get me a nap after I spoke three different times this morning. And you know, I had some chicken. And chicken and heat equal what? Sleep. So I had me a good time sleeping and resting. Now, this morning, we established a number of things, but I want to express my appreciation to Brother Smith and the leaders of this church for the privilege to come and to share with you on this morning. Now, I was informed that I was to speak on the best news for the best life. And this morning, we just chose a general subject. You have the right to dream. And there are three types of dreams. You have a right to have your purpose dream. Every person has a birthright of purpose. Then you have a right to have your personal dreams. Those are the things that you personally want to accomplish in life. And in the kingdom of God, we have an inheritance from the saints. We are supposed to receive our blessings. The Bible says God delights in the prosperity of the saints. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it to you how? More abundantly. So we are the children of the kingdom of God. We have the privilege to have those things accomplished for us if we take advantage of them.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you, don't give up on your purpose dream. Don't give up on your personal dreams. But most importantly, don't give up on your paramount dream. That's that supreme dream. That's the highest dream. That's the greatest dream. That's that thing you've been thinking about, what you want to do since you were a child and you were afraid to do it. And many of us give up. Most people don't ever accomplish their paramount dream. A gentleman walked up to me this morning and he said that he accomplished his paramount dream. I said to him, I know him. He told me he was going to be here. He said, my paramount dream was to be the city manager of a large city. And he came and he did that. What is your paramount dream? Your supreme dream. You have a right to have that. That's what we talked about on this morning. And then I got kidnapped in the singles group. And we got in there and we began to talk about what it means to be new self singles. And what I suggested is singles today, there is a diabolical attack on singles today. And it's getting to a point now where it is so difficult being a single. We need to try to have some understanding of what it means to be single today. And what we got to understand is that the old self, and the Bible talks about the old self. Y'all looking at me funny. When you look at me funny, I put the Bible on you. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22 in the NIV, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self and its deceitful lust, and to be made new in the spirit of your mind, and to put on your new self, which is created in true righteousness and holiness. Now notice what it says. Everybody in here got an old self. And your old self makes you do negative, defeating, sabotaging, destructive things to yourself. Get this. All with the sincere intent to love yourself. It makes the alcoholic go back to the bottle. It makes the drug addict go back to the drug. It makes the prostitute keep tooting. Y'all looking at me funny. How many of you have committed one sin? Raise your hand. One sin, one sin, one sin. All right. Put your thumb up. Now, how many of you committed that same sin twice? Put your other finger up. The same sin three times, four times, five times. Get your other hands up. Come on. Six times. Paul said, the things that I know I should not do, I find myself doing. And the things that I know I should do, I don't do. What he's talking about is the old self. Now, if it's say it one place in the Bible, it'll say it someplace else. I know y'all looking at me, y'all checking me out, but I'm checking y'all out too. And what you're going to find is I'm a sound doctrine preacher. The word came here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. So if it'll say it someplace else, it'll say it someplace else. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 9 in the NIV. And I'm going to tell you why I'm using the NIV, because the NIV is more accurate in this particular passage than other passages, because it talks about the old self. Now, the King James said the old man. That's sexist language. It was written during the time of King James, so it was more sexist because the male was supposedly supreme. And then one translation said your old nature. Well, that's too broad. because you cannot fool Mother Nature. But the Bible says your old self. See, everybody got an old self. And the first thing it says, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 9, it says, stop lying. One of the first things you got to do when you're going to start dealing with your old self, you got to stop lying. It says, stop lying since you have taken off your old self and its practices. Every one of us got an old self, and your old self got its own unique practices to you. Nobody's practices is the same. Yours is unique to you. He says, since you've taken off your old self and its practices, and to be made new and put on the new self, watch this now, created in Ephesians 4 says, in true righteousness and holiness. In Colossians 3 and 9, it says, created in the image of Christ. So your old self is really not based on true righteousness and holiness. That's why we do crazy stuff sometimes. Sometimes you ever see people just do, for a long time I was wondering what make people do this, going back to this negative, defeating, sabotage, and destruct. Ladies and gentlemen, the old self came into the world as a result of the fall. Christ came on the scene and he brought the new self as a result of the cross. What we got to understand is we got an old self and a new self. Your old self is a liar. It's a fraud. It makes you think that's who you really are, when in reality, you're not your old self. You are actually your new self. And we got old self churches. I'm talking about whole churches being programmed and conditioned by the old self. Y'all looking at me funny. But anyway, I knew we only had so much time. So I got in there and we began talking to the singles. There are most singles are dating based on the old self, not the new self. So what happens is the old self brings its old baggages and its packages into the dating relationship. It becomes the mating relationship. It becomes the marriage relationship. And you have old self families, old self children. And as a result of that, can you say amen? And so we got in there and people learned. Learn basically what their old self and new self was all about. Now, I told them then, I do workshops on this all over the country, and I knew we didn't have enough time. And so tonight, now I'm supposed to be speaking to the singles, and I'm almost sure all of you are not singles. Say amen if you can. All singles, raise your hand. Singles in the audience, raise your hand. Okay, and listen, don't ever consider yourself as singles. Consider yourself as complete, unique, and whole. What good is a single key without the lock? Y'all stay with me now. What good is a single piece? What good is a single piece of the scissors without the other piece? God did not say we are singles. God created us to be whole. So while you're single, when the fellow walks over to you and says, "Hey, baby, how are you? Are you married? Are you? What's your status? What are you married?" Just say, "I'm complete, unique, and whole." You'll scam back. Yeah. See, marriage is not for two quarters. Marriage is about two wholes. What happens is two quarters marry each other, and now they're cheating. Somebody getting cheated out of $1.50. The Bible says, therefore, a man leaves the mother, father, cleaves to the wife, and the two become what?
One
whole. Yes. You shouldn't even be thinking about marriage until you get whole. Because if you go into marriage without being whole, what happens is you cheat somebody that you marry. If you go into marriage as 75 cents when you're supposed to be a dollar, somebody going to be cheated out a quarter. And what's going to happen now, and what happens is then we expect that person who don't have the whole to make up the difference for our lack. So one of the things that singles have to do is strive to learn how to be whole. And when you be whole, then find somebody else's whole. And $2 make one flesh, one whole. Y'all following me?
Amen.
So because of time, tonight I just want to just say something to the singles on what to do in the meantime. Now, the last workshop I was in, I forget where it was. I was in Washington, I believe it was, and it was the National Singles Conference. And we had time where we can get involved with the singles and talk in detail, talk about the old self, talk about the new self, and get involved and then date based on the new self rather than the old self, and understand what we started to talk about today. instead of dating, have spiritual partnership, new self-spiritual partnerships. Now, the purpose of a new self-spiritual partner is to come in contact with a person whose only objective is to help you to grow spiritually. Now, if y'all spend time helping each other grow spiritually, what happens by the time y'all keep dating and waiting, what happens is then now the goal is not to win the person over. The goal is to help the person to be spiritually whole.
Amen.
It changes the whole perspective. So what do you do in the meantime? I'm going to I want to talk about new self dating in the 21st century. New self. Now, your new self is your higher self. It's your best self. It's your supreme self. It's your divine self. It's your I am self. Your old self, your new self is your old self resurrected and made new by the Holy Spirit. See, your new self is who you really are. Your new self is your true self. Your new self is when you're in a zone. When you're in your new self, you will always be better than you would be if you're in your old self. And that's why Paul said, the things that I know I should not do, I find myself doing, and the things that I know I should do, I don't know. What is he talking about? He's talking about the old self. Okay, so new self is your supreme self, your highest self, your best self. It's when you are allowing the Holy Spirit to live in you and you are your best self. So when we talk about the new self, I thought I'd speak a little bit about the difference in the old self and the new self before we talked about what to do in the meantime. Now, I'm going to ask if we can read the Bible tonight. Is that all right? And I'm going to refer to some passages, and I'll be short and sit down. Okay, now, I want to talk about five commitments for biblical dating in the 21st century. Now, keep in mind, people who are married, a lot of times what you have, people who are single, sometimes are struggling in quiet desperation. Because now it's more difficult dating than it used to be.
Amen.
Furthermore, you don't know who you're dating.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
You can date somebody and then spend 15 years, 10 years, and then find out that they are Frankenstein.
Amen.
So now it's to a point where you got to know what's going on. How many of you heard about that brother who wrote the book called The Brothers on the Down Low? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? The brothers on the down low. That's the brothers who would rather have gratification for the moment rather than a relationship for a lifetime. And what happens is this tendency of the gay movement that's happening, and that, by the way, let me be clear, I love the gay, hate the gay practices.
Amen.
Don't make it seem like I have any problems with gay people. I'm not trying to suggest that I have any problems with gay people. I think the gate people got to just be gay until they get to the gate. And when they get to the gate, they can deal with gay all they want to. I'm not going to be dealing with trying to make somebody else seem like something's wrong with them. I got too much. I think we need to be more intelligent about the way we approach. And today, you got to be careful. If somebody called the office at Minden Street and asked me, do I do marriages? I say, yes, I do. And they say, well, we're coming over to the office. I say, well, first of all, let's be clear. I do marriages between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. Now, and the reason is you say you're going to do marriages and you say yes on the phone. They record you on the phone. They come to the office. And if you show up with two men or two women and you refuse them, you put yourself and the church in liability. They can sue you. It's law now. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And so we're talking about a marriage between a man and a woman. And ladies and gentlemen, here are five commitments for biblical dating in the 21st century. And it's a biblical context. Now, number one, the first principle is never backtrack. And this thing is supposed to be coming up one at a time, but they're all up there now, so we just have to, okay. Never backtrack, make a commitment. Get from me Genesis chapter 24, verse number 3 and 4. Genesis chapter 24, verse number 3 and 4. Here's the point. Principle number one, never backtrack, make a commitment before you start dating. You will not marry outside the faith. You got to be proactive rather than reactive. Ain't no need in getting involved with the person that you're involved with. You get emotionally tied into that relationship and then get down the road and realize that the person don't share the same faith, and then you're unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and now you're emotionally tied into it. It's too late. What you got to understand is make a commitment, number one, not to backtrack. Make a commitment before you start dating that you will not date outside of your faith. Now, what does that mean? That does not mean that you just exclude everybody who's not a member of the body of Christ. And what it means is that you need to be proactive enough that if you find yourself getting involved in a relationship and you're getting emotionally attached, then you need to be clear that this person needs to be of the same faith with you. If not, you get down the road and next thing you know, you'll be sleeping with the enemy. Say amen when you can. All right, now watch this. Genesis chapter 24 from the NIV, verse number 3. What does the Bible say? Read.
And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven.
Might as well go on to verse number 1 and we can get it all. Come on.
And Abraham was old and well stricken in age.
The Bible says Abraham was old and well stricken in age. Read.
And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things.
Read.
And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house.
He said unto his eldest servant of the house. Come on.
That ruled over all that he had.
Read.
Put, I pray thee, thy hand under thy thigh.
Read.
Read. I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and
the
God of the earth.
That was a way of making a commitment when he was talking about putting the hand under the thigh. It was a process, a custom that they used to show a serious vow when they make this commitment. Read.
That thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites
Read.
Among whom I dwell.
He said, now here's what I want you to do. You go find my wife, my son, a wife. Back there during that time, they didn't have dating. Facebook dating black people who married. You don't have to be lonely on. So you know what I'm talking about. They didn't have all that stuff going on, but now they had. His servant went out to find his son a mate. Watch this now. Read.
But thou shalt go into my country,
read,
to my kindred.
Go to my family. Go to the people who share the same faith I share. Come on.
And take a wife unto my son Isaac.
I want you to take a wife for my son Isaac. Read.
And the servant said unto him.
And the servant said unto him, what?
Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land.
Read.
Must thy knees bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?
Read.
And Abraham said unto him,
read.
Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence.
What verse are you in?
8.
Verse number 8. Now he says, I want you to find a wife of the same seed, of the same family, of the same kindred. I want you to find a wife, in other words, that share the same faith that my son Isaac had. Verse number 9, what does it say? Read.
And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter.
Uh-huh.
And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master.
That's
and
good
departed.
Enough. Now, the first principle is make a commitment, single person, that person who is striving. Make a commitment that you will not date outside of your faith. So that when you meet somebody, you can be able to start talking about your faith when you first meet them. Can you say amen? Principle number 2, never marry a person unless they are willing to show up, own up, and grow up in the relationship. The problem is, if a person is not willing to show up, you may not find who they are until you marry them. And then when you marry them, you marry a guy. And by the way, there are a huge number of pedophiles coming out of the prison systems. So sometimes what happens is a person comes out. Now, I'm not saying everybody who went to prison is a pedophile. I'm not saying that everybody who did, I'm just saying that that's one of the issues. And there's really issues in Atlanta, Georgia, because, and I just left that not long ago, it's getting to a point now where it is really a serious matter where women are questioning whether the men are gay or not. And so what happens is you get in a relationship and you get down the road and find out that the person is not who they really are. So what you got to do is never marry a person unless they're willing to show up. And that's what I was telling the singles this morning. You can find out what a person's old self-love is in 3 minutes and find out. Then you begin to talk on the old self level. You begin to talk about the vulnerabilities. You talk about the fears. You talk about the concerns. You talk about the person on a real level. And you don't have to spend 20 years to get to know a person. I read spirits. You can get to know a person in 20 minutes if you know how to read spirits. Y'all looking at me funny? You remember John said, try the spirits. See if they are of God. Peter and the first century Christians understood that people were spirits. The spirit speaketh expressly. In the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing what? Spirits. He's talking about people. And that's why over there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, he said, talking about women, he said, it's not the outward adorning or the wearing of the gold or the braiding of the hair, but it is the hidden person of the heart, which is a gentle and quiet spirit. The beauty of a woman is not so much her outward adorning, although ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen, Walls.
Amen.
But her spirit, ladies and gentlemen, is who she really is. So one of the first things I do when I meet people, I read spirits. I get to know the person in 20 minutes when it sometimes takes people 20 years. I have counseled people who've been married for 40 years, and I counseled them and knew their husband or their wife better than they knew them, and they've been living with them for 40 years. Well, we got to understand that we got to realize who we really are in the sight of God. So one of the first things you got to do, meet people who will show up. Watch this now. Go down to 24, verse 24, chapter 24. Look at verse number 57. Watch what the Bible said now. We read what it says over there in verse number 8, 5 and 8. Now watch what it says in verse number 57 of that same chapter. Read.
And they said,
and they said what?
Call the damsel and inquire at her mouth.
Read.
And they called Rebekah and said to her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away.
Hold it. Here's the point. If the person is not willing, you don't have the person. That's why I tell people when you get ready to get married, sometimes people say, I do. Then later on they say, I did. I give people an option. Do you want to say, I do? Or do you want to say, I will? See, I will is a continual commitment to saying, I will continue to be your mate. I will continue to love you in sickness and health, in poverty and wealth, in whatever the case may be. You follow what I'm saying? He had to go and see if that woman was willing. And one of the first things you want to know is the person, if they're not willing to grow with you, people who are married, tell the truth. Isn't marriage about growing together with each other? Everybody who agree with that, raise your hand. Amen. If you stop growing in the marriage relationship, the marriage can die. So what we got to understand is before going into the marriage relationship, go into the marriage relationship with a willing person who's willing to show up, own up, and grow up. Because there will be times when you will find out things about your mate that you never thought was there. Amen, Walls. And you got to be able to deal with those kinds of things. So number two, never marry a person unless they are willing to show up, own up, and grow up. Number three, principle number three, never date reactive. In other words, date proactive. Don't date reactive. Date proactive. Pray to God and ask him to give you for wisdom to set criteria. See, my machine that's not working like it's properly working. Nothing to do with this machine. It probably had something to do with the way it was. So those things are supposed to come up one at a time. All right, so we're on principle number three. Principle number three, pray to God and ask him for wisdom to set criteria for the mate of your dreams. All right, Genesis chapter 24. Go down to verse number 12. Watch what the Bible say. Look, make a list of the mate of your dream. You want him to be a Christian? You want to be truthful? You want to be a virgin? You want to be kind? Now, this is not something that you must expect. This is just a list that you come up with. I want my mate to be tall, dark, and handsome. I want my mate to be a Christian brother. I want my mate to be a person at work. I want a black man at work. I want a B&W. I want somebody. You got to make a list so that when you're dating the person, you ever heard this expression? Winston Churchill said, the target is much easier to hit when you can see it. If you don't know what you want, you don't know the target. So you make a list of the things that you want so that you can get the person of your dreams. And let me tell you something about God. God will bring to you the person of your dreams that's really designed to help you deal with you. And some of us, you is something else. Say amen if you can. All right, now, I know Sister Roach, she got to be a special kind of sister to deal with Brother Roach. And by the way, I think it goes both ways. Yeah. Can you say amen? All right, so now watch this now. All right, Genesis 24, verse 12. Watch what the Bible say. Read.
And he said
what?
O Lord God, my master Abraham.
Read.
I pray thee.
Read.
Send me good speed this day.
Read.
And show kindness unto my master Abraham.
Read.
Behold, I stand here by the well of water.
Read.
And the daughters of men of the city come to draw water.
Read.
And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say.
See, what happened was they had made an agreement that the damsel or the woman that they would meet would come and handle herself a certain way. She would come and draw water for them. She would come and feed them. You know what? We still need to do that today. You need to check if that sister can cook, brother, before you get in there good. You know what I'm saying? You get in there and you marry her and she can only boil water. You're in trouble now. Anyway, I'm just saying. He says that this woman is supposed to be very hospitable. Watch this now. Read.
I shall say, let down the pitcher.
Uh-huh.
I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink.
Uh-huh.
And I will give the camels drink also.
Read.
Let the same be she that thou shalt appoint for thy servant Isaac, and
read.
Thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master.
Look what he did. He had a list of the things that he wanted for his son Isaac before he met the person. You got a right to ask God for what you want and then expect God to bless you with it.
No.
You got a right to ask God to bless you with the mate of your dreams, and then when the mate of your dreams show up, now you know that you didn't do it on your own. God is the one who brought that person to you. Now watch what happens. Now read.
And it came to pass before he had done speaking,
uh-huh.
that behold, Rebekah came out.
Read.
Who was born to Bethel, son of Micah, the wife of Nahor.
Read, excellent.
Abraham's
read.
Brother with her pitcher upon her shoulder.
Read.
And the damsel was very fair to look upon.
She was beautiful. That's what that means. She was easy. She was easy on the eye. Amen. Come on.
A virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up.
Read.
And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher.
Now watch what he's doing. You know what? It's all right to test that date too.
All right, man.
I tested Sister Roach. Let me tell you a few things I did. I had an old 1973 Chrysler, and I had duct tape on it. I mean, I was in college. That's all I could afford. And I want to know if she'll ride with me in that old Chrysler. Because if she'll ride with me in the Chrysler, now she can ride in a Cadillac. Say amen if you can. And then I took her to a restaurant. I wanted to see how she was going to act. It was called Aloysius in Cleveland, Ohio. Aloysius was in the heart of the ghetto. And I mean, Aloysius could cook, but you know how some restaurants, they can cook. Aloysius didn't even have salt shakers, and what they had was them hot sauce bottles, and they put salt in it. So we pull up to the restaurant, and when we pull up to the restaurant, I guess it was a homeless man. He was coming out of the restaurant, and when he came out of the restaurant, a bag of neck bones fell all out on the floor. And she looked at me and said, where are you taking me? She ate with me in Aloysius. Now I take her to the top of the town. Can you say amen? I tell you another thing I tested it with. You know, sometimes my car, I named it Inspiration. It would break down, and I needed some help. I'm just being vulnerable here now, y'all. She'd be sitting in the car, and I want to know, is she going to sit up in that car like Queen Sheba? And wait for me to push the car by myself, or is she gonna try to help me? And when I open the door for her on her side, is she gonna lean over there and open the door for me? Say amen if you can. If I can open the door for her, she ought to be able to reach over and open the door. If she's sitting up there like Queen Sheba, I'm knocking on the door. Come on!
wrong. Something wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen. Go right ahead. I'm just moving on here.
And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink.
Look at it. Look at our attitude. Read. Keep reading.
And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also.
I'm going to get water for your camels also. Man, that's the kind of woman you want. You want the woman who'll cook you some chocolate chip cookies sometime. And she may not, she may know you like chocolate chip cookies. And just because she knows you like it, you come home and you smell chocolate chip cookies on your way home. She not only obey or follow and submit to your word, but she's willing to submit to your will. Now that's what the kind. So this woman was unique. And what verse are you in right now?
19.
Verse 19, read.
And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels.
Read.
And the man wondering at her held his peace.
Read.
To wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not.
Read.
And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking.
Let me say something, sisters. When you find a man who's a spiritual man, the Bible says a spiritual minded man judge of all things. He was spiritual enough when he was holding his peace. She didn't know he was checking her out. She didn't know he was testing her to see what kind of woman he was. All she knew is she was just being herself. And the Bible says she, at the same time, this spiritual minded man is judging all things and he's discerning what kind of woman she is. Watch this. Keep reading.
And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hand and ten shekel weight of gold.
That's good enough. I wish I had more time. Drop down to verse number 41. Watch what the Bible says. Verse number 41. Read.
Then shalt thou be clear from this thy oath, my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, then shalt thou shalt be clear from my oath.
He told him, now look, if you find a woman that's not the kind of woman and you've done what you're supposed to, then I will not hold you in obligation to my oath. And so the servant was doing what the Lord said because he was a spiritual man. Now drop down to verse number 63. Watch what the Bible says.
And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. Thank you. At the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels.
Hold it, hold it. Now, you're doing excellent reading. Now, watch this now. Sometimes your mate will show up in the least expected places. Amen. He out there meditating in the field, and he looked up, and behold, the woman of his dreams. Watch what happens. Now, read.
And Rebekah lifted up her eyes.
And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, the man of her dream. God can bring people together, and he can create the circumstance for that person who's praying and believing to meet a mate. You know, if he can bring Adam a mate when he was asleep, he can bring you a mate when you are awake. Say amen when you can. And I think singles, you got to believe that God is still in the matchmaking business. And it's not about singlesmatch.com, even though that's okay. God can match you up with the person of your dream. That's what's happening here. Watch this now. Read.
For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself.
Uh-huh.
And
now, the servant, well, all that means is she put on her makeup. Yeah, she got herself ready. Yeah, she spruced herself up. She said, this might be the man of my dream. And she put a veil. See, the veil was representative of that. So she pulled the veil down, and now she's getting ready to meet the man of her dreams. And watch what happens. Read.
And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done.
Uh-huh.
And Isaac brought her into his mother's servant Sarah's tent.
Uh-huh.
And took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
Look at this. They both looked for the mate of their dreams. If God can do it in the garden, when Adam was asleep, he can do it today. And if God can do it back there then, he can do it in the 21st century. You have to believe that God will bring you the mate of your dreams. And you got to have the kind of faith to do it. And there are other biblical stories that illustrate this. So the fourth principle, never forget that your mate is appointed and presented to you by God. So your mate is appointed and presented to you by God. Now, you got to understand something. That don't mean everybody who's married did that.
Amen.
But there is a biblical principle where God will appoint your mate. Now watch this. Maintain an unflinching trust that God will send his angels to help you to find a mate. All right, verse number 7. Watch what this. We're going to jump down to verse 7. What does it say? Read.
The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house.
Read.
And from the land of my kindred.
Read.
And which spake unto me.
Read.
And that swear unto me, saying.
Read.
Unto thy seed I will give this land.
Read.
He shall send his angel before thee.
Hold it. Do you know that every one of us got an angel? Yeah. Oh, y'all looking at me funny.
Give us Bible.
14th chapter, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, are they not all ministering spirits, angels of God? We got guardian angels that work along with us, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible says he's going to send his angel before you. So the angel is over here picking out your mate if you have the kind of unflinching trust that God can do it. All right, drop down now. Drop down to verse number 14. Watch what the Bible says. Read.
And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say,
read.
Let down the pitcher.
Read.
I pray thee that I may drink.
Read.
She shall say, drink.
Read.
And I will give thy camels drink also.
Read.
Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy
son. Hold it! That's the one that God has appointed. What are you saying, Brother Roach? I'm trying to say that God is still in the business of bringing mates together to people, but you got to have an unflinching faith and believe that God can do it, and he'll send his angels before you and work it out. By the time you get there, she ready or he ready. Drop down to verse 39. Watch what the Bible say. Read.
And I say unto my master,
read.
Preadventure, the woman will not follow me.
Read.
And he said unto me.
In other words, what if the woman that I pick out will not follow me? Watch what he said. Read.
The Lord, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee.
Hold that. There's the angel again.
Amen.
He'll send his angel before you. Now, brothers and sisters, that may, you know, you may have 150 singles who, and one of them may not, 149 may not believe it. But that person who is that one who believe it. Yeah. I have taught lessons. There's a fellow who's blind. He's blind. And he began to pray to God for a mate. And I taught him some principles. It's this same material. He prayed to God that God will bring him a mate. And I'm telling you, they married now and got two children. I'll never forget when that sister came in the back of the church that day. She came in and it was like cybernetics. Cybernetics. There's a book called Cybernetics. And what it's all about is that in the missile, they got a honing device. And that honing device will hone itself. And it may go around Robin Hood's barn, but eventually, bam. And I'll tell you what, I remember when that sister came in, and she came in, where's, I'm not going to miss, where's blind so-and-so? Next thing you know, bam. Hooked him up. Married. Blind. He had been blind all of his life, ladies and gentlemen. Another situation, I taught the same kind of lesson, and there was a fellow, there was a lady who had four children. And you know, when you have four children, they say that you're old maid and you ain't gonna find no man in fourth. God brought her a man who wanted four children.
Amen.
And they got married, and I'll never forget, I did the wedding. You know what the title was called? It's all good. It's all good, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just trying to show you. All right, drop down to verse number 40. What does it say? Read.
And he said unto me,
uh-huh.
The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way.
Read.
Thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house.
Read.
Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath whom thou comest to my kindred.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's what you do in the meantime.
Amen.
Number one, you got to make a commitment that you will never backtrack, but that you will marry in the faith. Number two, you will make a commitment. And then two and three, let me get to the last principle and I'm quit. Principle number 5, never confuse dating with waiting.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, if I was single, I wouldn't date. I'd wait. See, when you work, God waits. But when you wait, God works. Y'all hear what I'm saying? God is in the business of answering our prayer. But if you in his way, he can't get. Let me tell you something. Some of us, you can't get the woman of your dream and the man of your dream because you got the wrong person in the place of the person that God's trying to send you. Do you know the Bible, this is a biblical principle. You remember over there the Bible says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will repay. And then it says, rather give place for the wrath of God. Now, some of us, you over here trying to make the person pay. You trying to whoop them up and beat them up and beat them down. All you got to do is get out of God's way. And he said, vengeance is what? Mine. Rather give place to the wrath. Get out of God's way. And what you got to do is sometimes you got to let that scrub go. Sometimes you got to let that gold digger go. Sometimes you got to let them go. And when you let them go, then the next thing you know, the woman or the man of your dreams will show up. As long as he is in the way or she is in the way, Bambi and Buster will mess up your blessing. Say amen when you can. See, the way God works. Now, let me close with this. See, when you wait, God works. And when you work, God waits. And God will wait on you 20 and 30 years.
Wow.
You'll be wondering why you can't find a mate. Well, the reason is you got the wrong person in the wrong place, so he can't get in there and do his job. All right, drop down to verse number 62, and we'll get ready to close. Come on.
And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahora, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide.
Read.
And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming.
By the way, let me ask you something. All this time when the servant was looking for the woman, and the woman he found, what was Isaac doing?
Waiting.
It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant. I like those waiters who just stand there and just wait. Just wait. Then they see you need something.
See it on your face.
Then they get back. And they just wait. Guess what Isaac was doing? He was waiting. Guess what God was doing? He was working. That's the point that we're trying to get here. So here's the 5 points. Commit to Mary in your faith. Commit to trust God for your mate. Commit to stay with your prayer list for your mate until your mate manifests. See, some blessings don't manifest until you exercise your faith and the confession of your mouth long enough so that God can manifest. Y'all looking at me funny. If you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Mark chapter 12, Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. If you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you saith. Watch this now. Therefore, when you pray, wherever therefore is there for a reason. You're not even ready to pray until you get to this point. Therefore, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Not you shall get it, not maybe tomorrow. You will have it when you have that kind of faith. Now, what do you got to do then? If you already got it, you got to wait until your tip manifests. Come on now. You got to wait until God manifests it. So that's the idea there. Wait and then commit to trusting God's angels to work it out for you. As you can believe that the angels went before Isaac, went before Rebekah, went before the servant, so why won't he go before you? Amen. And then finally, commit to wait and not work. So I thought I'd just mention that to you, singles, what to do in the meantime. Amen. But one of these times when we get a chance, that whole notion of dating in the new self rather than dating in the old self. The old self is traditional dating. The new self is spiritual partnership dating. And that changes everything. Now, if you're in this audience tonight and you've heard the message tonight, one of the great blessings of being in the faith is faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And when you have the kind of faith that the Bible talks about, that faith will cause you to obey from the heart that form of the doctrine, that you might become a member of the body of Christ. I hear Peter when he said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this now, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all them that's far off. There's your mate. And to all them that are what? Are far off. In other words, save yourself, get yourself ready, and wait for God to bring that mate who's afar off into the nearness so that you can get a chance to meet. And the Bible says, then they, verse number 42, then they, 41 rather, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the book says, the same day they were added unto the Lord, to the church and the kingdom of God. You may be in this audience, and God has been calling you, and you heard the message tonight, and you want to marry in Christ. You want to marry in a new self relationship, and he's calling you now. And if you will obey him and trust him, God will work in your life, and ultimately that can lead to the mate of your dreams. If you're a member of the body of Christ and you have been living beneath your privileges, you have been living based on fear, worry, doubt, preoccupation with pain and bad news, all of those, when you're preoccupied with it, is a sin. What you need to do is repent and start living for God based on faith, hope, love, purpose, and good news. And the God of heaven will work in your life. And so if you need to respond and you need to make a confession, that's what the invitation is really all about too. And then finally, sometimes you just need to ask for prayer. Sometimes you just need to ask for the prayers of the saints to pray for you. And sometimes that is good to just ask so you can be strengthened. If you're in the audience and you need to respond to any of those needs, you have the opportunity to respond right now as we together stand and sing words of
encouragement. Here I labor and toil as I look for a home.
The invitation.